Hope for the World, the Local Church. That's the title of our message today. Hope for the World, the Local Church. Yeah. God is teaching me more about the church, and I'm not going to go into ecclesiology. That's a whole, I have 25 minutes, so every word is going to be. I've been praying very carefully. I said, Lord, help me to be very precise and to say everything you want me to say. Amen. Jesus is the hope of the world. We'll come to that. But there's a lot of disillusionment and hopelessness in the world. Like Pastor George was saying, the world is dealing with crazy things, unbelievable things. And I work with young people, and many times you can sense that discouragement and disillusionment. And sometimes their hope is to come to America. But America has also its issues. Some people back in my country, they call America the second heaven. Beautiful country. I went for a walk. Such a beautiful, the most wealthiest country in the world. But America has its issues. I won't go into that because I don't have time. I just checked one issue. 90 people were shot during the June 4th holiday last year. That's just one of the issues. I'm going to the rest of the issues. Today, the Lord is saying there's hope in the midst. And this whole service is about Jesus is our hope. I hear young people say, oh, we don't want to give birth because we don't know the kind of world our children are going to grow in. And when I hear those statements from young people, I get shocked and surprised. I want to shout, there's hope for the future. Amen. Our hope is Jesus. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Yes. Many years ago, I read from the Mission Frontier magazine, 60 to 70% of young people leave the church in the United States. And that shocked me. I said, that cannot be true until some of the children of my friends started leaving church. Some are new, young. I went online to check, why are they leaving? I found a banner group had done a 5-year study. And they said different reasons, but maybe they came out with 6. And it's nothing really much. Just the church's response to science and response to sexuality and other things. How do we raise a generation that encounter Jesus? So today's message is just the hope, that encounter. Because the enemy has tried everything. But Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The message is the local church, because the local church is the community. It's a hope for the community, hope for the city, hope for the nation. Redeemer Community Church is the hope of Aurora.
That's right.
Thank you. I got one just, that's right. He's good. I pray that people in church will begin to encounter this Jesus. I've met people who've left church and they have all kinds of excuses. Elias is a fine young man. He spent 3 months. Can we appreciate Elias more? Fine young man. He'll make a fine missionary. If I start talking about Elias, my 25 minutes will go, so I'll talk about him another time. By the way, we have a table and we have a celebration on Friday night at One Way. If you come to our tables, Kate is there. She will tell you much about that. Amen. And we met a young lady, Muslim lady. So I tried to witness to her. And I said, have you ever been to church? She said, oh yeah, I was born in church. My father was a pastor. My mother was a pastor. What happened to you? What happened to you? He says, I was empty. How can you be empty when you know Jesus? Then he didn't know Jesus. What happened to you? I can never speak for anybody. But all over the world, with what is going on, people are having encounters with Jesus. Even Muslims, we're going to talk about how prayer is shaping the world. My friend in Chad tells me I'm a Muslim man who had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He had 4 children. And the fundamentalist came and said, if you don't recant and come back, we're going to kill your children. And they killed the first one and said, Jesus is Lord. They killed the second one and said, Jesus is Lord. They killed the third one and said, Jesus is Lord. They killed the fourth one and said, Jesus is still Lord. There are people going through tragedy and turmoil and persecution and terrorism, but they still say, Jesus is Lord. I have just 4 points and I'm going to be done. I didn't check when I started, so how do I know? Thank you. Kate, will you tell me when it's... The first point I have is Jesus is the hope of the world. Everybody knows that. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the hope of the world. 1 Peter 1:3, I like what it says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. The resurrection from the dead. So that gives us hope that no matter what happens, I have hope because I have eternal life in Jesus. He died and he rose again. The people on the road of Emmaus, they said, oh, we thought he's a savior. We thought he's going to redeem everyone, but he died. Yeah, he died, but on the third day, he resurrected. He rose from the dead. And one day, the trumpet will blow. Papa! And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are still alive will be caught up with him. Right now, if I jump the law of gravity, I'll come down. But that day, when I go up, I'm not coming down. I'm going with Jesus. That hope keeps me alive. Nothing. Say, what shall separate us from the love of the Lord? Is it suffering or death or turmoil? What shall separate us? I pray that there will be a crop of Christians, believers, who know their Lord. There are nothing. We are inseparable. If I die today, I go to be with Jesus. Paul was saying, I'm torn between two opinions. Whether to go or to stay here, I'll stay because of you. That's what Paul said. But to go to Christ is the greatest thing. Hallelujah. I believe God is raising a generation of believers who know Jesus and they can't wait to see his face. Hallelujah. There are so many stories. In Nigeria, which is close to Ghana, they face persecution. The stories are unbelievable. I can't even go into it. But one day they bombed the church. The people came to church on Sunday and the place has been bombed, and the church was burnt, and all the pews. Everything was burnt. Do you know what they did? They went out and looked for stones, and they brought the stones and put it in the bench church, no pulpit, nothing. And the pastor came and preached as if nothing has happened. That is true Christianity. That's people who know who their hope is. It's in Jesus. Not in material things, not in the things that happen. People will leave church for little things. For different things. But I'm praying for a church that knows Jesus. Matthew 12:21 says, in his name, the nations will hope. Number two, the church is the body of Christ. And I put it this way, the church is the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. That's number three. The body of Christ in Ephesians 1:22-23 talks about the church being the body. So Christ is the head and the church is what? The body. Wow. So we are one. He's the head. And the Lord gave me an illustration. I'm going to ask my wife Cynthia to come, please. Cynthia, please come. Because people love, they say we love Christ, but we don't love the church. The church is a problem. How can you love the head and not love the body? 27 years ago, I said to this beautiful woman, I love you. Will you marry me? And we got married. And imagine I say, I love your head, but I don't love any part of your body. Can I marry the head? No ways. Get the full package. That's a blessing. Is that not a blessing? Yeah. Wow. When I wake up in the morning, I say, wow. For every day, I say, wow. What a wow. Thank you. Please take your seats. She's going as a body, the head. But there's a body, and Christ is the head. He's in heaven, but he's also in us. And we can't love the head and not love the body. The church is like the low-hanging fruit. The scapegoat. Everybody's attacking the church, everything. Even somebody has a flatter, I say the church did it. Anything that happens, people say it's the church. And many people seem ashamed. Before the day of the smartphone, we used to carry Bibles to church. And in Ghana, I got saved, a young man would not go to church with their Bible. They would hide it. They would put in a rubber band. They were ashamed people see them going to church. Because of what people say. Even my niece at the University of Ghana, they say, oh, you go to church, beautiful girl like you. And so people kept creating that impression, and people don't want to identify with the church, the beautiful bride. Today I came to remind you, the bride is beautiful. Amen. The bride is beautiful. It has issues. It has imperfections. There's been issues. There's been scandals. And enemy capitalizes on that to say the church is just like the world. No, the church is not like the world. We are the holy people of God. Amen. The fact that one person sinned doesn't mean all have sinned. One day we're in Virginia, my friend Jeff Butchert, he's a good man, he's going to be with the Lord. And we're in a McDonald's, he picked me from the airport, we just passed the McDonald's restaurant to have lunch, a dinner. And then the manager came, he had tattoos, nice guy, tall. He said, how is it? And Jeff and I, we like preaching everywhere. So Jeff started preaching to him. And when Jeff started preaching to him, he got offended, he got angry. He started just venting. He said, they threw me out. My mother threw me out at 14, and the church threw me out. I don't want anything to do with the church. I don't want. And he kept talking, and I was praying. And I heard the Lord say, get up and put your hand around him. So I got up and put my hand around him. I said to him, your mother didn't die for you. The people offended your church, they didn't die for you. The church didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus says, come back home. And I asked him, will you come back home? And I saw tears come from his eyes. He nodded yes. And to God be the glory, I had the privilege to lead him back to Christ. People are offended all over the United States. I preached to people. I met so many people who have left church and they are offended. But God is saying to many of them, maybe your brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, it's time to come back home. Home is where it is. Home is the real place, because the enemy is doing everything to take people out of the will of God, out of the church, thinking he will succeed, that he can kill the church. But the church cannot be killed. The local church is rising up. The local church is moving on. It's a church triumphant. It's the body of Christ. Number three is the hope of glory. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every believer has the hope of glory in him. And it has that, I was studying that verse, and it has so much, both for the now and the future, eternal life. Transformation. The hope of glory. There's a hope of glory. One day we shall see him face to face. But before we see him, he's transforming us. Do you know, I had a rude awakening this morning, as I was praying and preparing, the Lord said, you talking about people who are anti-church and they persecuted the church and want to see the church down, you were one of them. I haven't forgotten about that part of my history. I was a young journalist and I used to write, I was born in church and also became rebellious and left the church. For 3 years, my mother said, go to church. I will not go to church. The church is boring. The church, that's just like young people are saying, the same reasons. But one day, somebody say one day, I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. After I had gone to Nigeria as a young intern working with a newspaper, and I found out, a guy said, where do you come from? I said, Ghana. He said, is that how you Ghanaians are? I said, what have we done? He said, you are thieves. There's a pastor from Ghana working with a Nigerian church. And when they say pray over the offering, everybody closed their eyes. The pastor took the money and the tithe and ran away. And I said, really? I went to the church to investigate, and I found it was true. I wrote an article. I came back, and I was with a newspaper in Ghana, and I wrote it. The editor was also anti-church. He loved it. He put it on the front page. That was my first front page article. And I was just, everybody said, wow, when you're in 10, you don't get a front page. But because it was against the church, I got a front page. And I wanted to write more anti-Christian, anti-church articles. So one day, somebody say one day, I met Jesus Christ. He saved me. That's another day. Changed my life. I met the Jesus. So many times we're in church, we didn't know. We didn't have an encounter. We didn't have the hope of glory. We didn't know. We just religious. Many people are just religious. They don't have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I pray that each one here will have an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what separates the sheep from the goats. That's what separates them. I'm sorry you saw the Egyptians who were killed. There was one Ghanaian among them. Recant. They killed them like chickens. But they said, we are going to Jesus. What can separate us? It's been 33 years. One month, my friend said, oh, you come back and join us. I'm rebellious, doing all the foolish things. 1 month passed. They said, 2 months. 2 months passed. They said, 3 months. 3 months passed. They said, oh, well, this one, by 6 months, he'll come back. Oh, Ray, we know him. 6 months passed. They said, maybe 1 year. 1 year passed. They didn't know what to say again. To God be the glory. It's 33 years. And what can separate me from the love of God? Like Paul, he says, why do you make me cry? Agabus took the belt. He says, so there's going to be suffering, there's going to be pain. And they said, don't go. He says, I'm not just ready to suffer for Jesus, I'm ready to die for him. He has said, because Paul was just going, persecuting the church, trying to think the church was the problem, till he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. We have been praying for encounters. Some of the witch doctors, there's no time. We have seen so many encounters of people, witch doctors, Muslims. One time we were recording for a local language, Dagbani Bible Plus, and all the former Muslims, we recorded their testimonies. They all had an encounter with Jesus. One of them, he said, anytime he closed his eyes, he saw Jesus. So he decided not to sleep. He drank coffee, chewed cola. How long can you go without sleeping? It took him 2 weeks. He surrendered to Jesus. Those people, there's nothing that can shake them. Christians, little thing, we are angry with church, angry with Christ. The Muslims who come to Christ, they are ready to die for Jesus. Amen. The time has come for the church to be serious, for the church to arise, for the church to know who died for them. No flimsy excuses. The days for excuses are... Nobody's preaching with me. The day for excuses are... Thank you. My wife said it first. I'll give you another chance. The days for excuses are... I'm going to talk to the young people. We go to universities and talk to them. Get up. You have to know better. Don't get into the lie. All the young people, because some professor or somebody says something, they don't know and they get confused. My last point. You can breathe a sign of relief. My last point. Number four. Thank you. The fivefold purposes of the church brings hope to the world. Acts 2:22, verse 27. It's a long verse. I don't know if I can read it, but we know the story. If it can be on the screen. The fivefold. In that passage, in Bible college, they talk about the four pillars of the church. Then you find communion and worship and teaching. And so people, Pastor Rick Warren wrote about the churches grow warmer through fellowship, the churches grow deeper through discipleship, churches grow stronger through worship, churches grow broader than through ministry, and churches grow large through evangelism. And I want to tweak it this way, and I'm ending. When I say the local church is a hope, there was a story I want, maybe I'm going to share it, a guy called J. John from UK, he had an interesting story about the church, how he describes the church. But this largest enterprise, global, the church is local, but the church is also what? Global. It's almost everywhere. And the church has the largest number of volunteers. In every church, only few are on full-time staff. So many volunteers, millions and billions. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, if the rulers of this age, they understood the wisdom, they would not have crucified Jesus. Because they thought if they crucified Jesus, they finished. But they didn't know that once he died, that's where our salvation begins. And now, Christ in us will be the hope of glory. What's your name, sir?
Dennis.
Dennis, I love you, Dennis. Not just Pastor Josh. Dennis has got some fire. Now, Dennis has Jesus.
Amen.
And then you are?
Miriam.
Miriam, his wife?
Yes.
Oh, you're blessed. Miriam has Jesus. And Pastor Josh has Jesus. And Sister Katie, and you, are you a fence car? Oh, man. The fence cars are my favorite. Besides, they were nice, but don't tell anybody. Everywhere you go, they got shocked. We study church history. We have taken over the palaces, the senate, the market, the schools. It was organic. Disciple making spread Christianity. The more they persecuted, the more the church spread. Unbelievable. Everywhere they went with the gospel. Everywhere they went. Now I said, what have we done? We should have kept the man and not killed him. It's too late. And that's why the church is powerful. When it comes to, you say, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses. The Bible says, the Greek word is matel, which is the same way we get the root word matis. In your Jerusalem, Aurora. In your Judea, Samaria. In the uttermost part of the world. Can make a difference everywhere. What amazing. You go anywhere. I'm going to end with evangelism and missions, but there are so many. Those five things come with worship. First, the church. The local church is the hope of glory through worship and prayer. Like, beautiful worship. I was crying. Like, yeah, the time I cry is worship. It's just so beautiful because the church brings, you know, there's something about corporate worship. We can worship, we worship in our homes, we worship everywhere. But there's something about corporate worship. When we come together, and there's a choir leading us in God's presence. Amen. Sister Heather, what do you think? Beautiful. My brothers, the church in Ghana, they do worship services. And because it's music, people come. They're unbelievers, not yet believers. And people come to Christ. Because they tell them they're coming for worship, for music. They love music. And there's so many. And prayer. Prayer changes the world. Amen? Amen? One day we did a prayer walk in Chicago many years ago. Pray Chicago. We had the Bible prayer cast for one way. And then one of the people who was with us, he saw how people were praying passionately. He said, does this work? She was surprised that people were praying. And this is supposed to be a Christian leader. And I found that there are many people in the church who are believers but unbelievers. She didn't believe in the power of prayer. I believe it's the power of prayer that is changing Chicago. It could have been worse. A church in Ghana, gospel came, and only women were coming to church. No men. And the women decided to pray 3, 4, 5 hours every day for the men. Said, this gospel has come, but our husbands are not coming. God saved them. Every day they prayed. You know what God did? God began to save all the husbands. They are passing to go and drink and go to the bars, and before they know they are in church, they don't know what happened to them. Today, that church is the largest church in Ghana. Wow. Over 4 million people. The women prayed. Let me tell you one more story about a church in Ghana invited me. When they invited me for missions, I know there will be 3 or 4 or 5 on a Wednesday. But that day, it was over 1,000. I was shocked. Then the bishop introduced me. He said he had an encounter with the Lord. The Lord said, you started well. You are about the Great Commission, but now you're about materialism and prosperity. You've deviated. Come back. So he started preaching about the Great Commission, and he felt, oh, okay, now I need somebody who is a missionary, and that's how they invited me. And that's why the church was full. So we had a wonderful time Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. They began to pray for the souls, for their community. Amen. Do you know what happened? 2 armed robbers were going to steal. And as they drove in front of the church, one of them said to his friend, oh, I forgot what they call the car jack. You know what you used to jack it? They used it to open, in Ghana we have what we call burglar proof, the windows. They open it and they go into the house. He said, I'm going to open somebody's boot and steal one and I'll find you there. But when he got there, the church was praying for people to be saved. And he, before he knew, he was in front of the church. The pastor said, "Why have you come?" He said, "I don't know why I'm here. I came to steal, but I'm here." Something happens when the church prays. That guy got saved. That day, his friend was shot by the police. That guy now is like a fiery evangelist. He would have died and gone to hell, but now he's saved. He's telling everybody about Jesus, telling the gangs. Something happens when the church is a hope. When we pray for our community, we worship, we'll see transformation. We cannot give up. Sometimes people don't know what to do, whether it's crime or homicide or drugs or anything. The church has the answer. The church is the only hope. When we can pray, God will answer. Number two, the church is the hope. The local church is the hope of the world through fellowship and community. I've loved Redeemer since I got connected to Redeemer, and Redeemer has been a wonderful partner. Thank you once again. But when the team came, I kept hearing stories from Nat and different people. I had people travel to come and join, and like people have decisions to take, but before they take, they are thinking of the local church. They said the community is deep, the love is deep. You know, the way life is made, we cannot be in isolation. Loneliness can kill. I know people who have committed suicide because of loneliness. And the church provides that fellowship. And Redeemer, I heard stories upon stories. I think, wow, this is a beautiful church. If I was in Arara, this would be my church. You'd be my pastor. Wonderful. I heard so many from Nat, from different Zoe. It's so beautiful. I said, that's supposed to be how it is. Community, friendship, love, family. It's so beautiful. And I applaud you. I've been just bragging about Redeemer everywhere. May the Lord continue to bless this church. Amen. At least I got one amen. Thank you. It's your church. May God continue to bless this church. Yeah. Number three, the local church is the hope of the world through discipleship. When we're going like the testimonies, shall we continue to sin so that grace will be abundant? No, but God is transforming us, changing us. Discipleship, training us. You see, many times through discipleship, our character is transformed. We learn skills, media. In Ghana, I found many young people. One guy had a media company. Why did you train? I thought he learned it in the university. He said, I learned it in church. By the media. Many times people learn and then they go. Most of the popular musicians, even one of the popular musicians in Ghana just died. He sang very, very unworthy songs. We found out he was singing in church. And he went to Germany and then somebody took him away. He started singing profane songs. So it always starts from the local church. But it doesn't stay. We have to disciple and keep the talent of the church and use it for the glory of God. Discipleship is where the hard work is. You shall go. That's a great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's rolling our sleeves. It's getting dirty with people. It's hard work. People disappoint you. But we're going to do it. And that's the hope of the world. Because through discipleship, we see transform societies. We see transform husbands, transform wives, transform young people. Through discipleship, we see change in our communities. Yes. It's possible. I'm discipling young people. I'm seeing the change in them. I say, glory to God. It's hard work, but we're going to do it. Number four. And I have number five. They know that I'm done. True ministry. The local church is the hope of the world through ministry and service. And no time to talk about the different ministries that the church. Okay, can you go up? Let's see a few things. Just go up. Let me read just one paragraph. Okay, just go up. They jumps up by a woman and say, what do you do? Yes, please go up. Yeah, go up. Go up. Okay, we have outlets in every country. Yes, we got hospitals, we got hospices, we got homeless shelters, we have orphanage, we do justice work, we do reconciliation work, we do educational work, we do marriage work. Next slide. Basically, we look after people from birth to death. Isn't that wonderful? There's no other living organism like the church. That's every aspect of human life. We take care of it. The local church. And number five, of course, you can guess, through missions. We have what we call the gathered church and the scattered church. I read Acts 1:8 already. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Go into the world and preach the gospel in all the gospels. From Matthew 18 to 20, Mark 16:15, Luke 24:47, John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so do I send you. But go, make disciples. From Jerusalem, the church cannot be impactful in the ends of the earth without being impactful in its Jerusalem. Ministry, both. In the King James says, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's what we call the gathered church and the scattered church. We come here for training, for edification, for worship, for prayer. We are stirred up, we are trained, and then we scatter. And as we scatter, we take the light of the gospel. You say, you are the light of the world. A city on the hill, that's what God is saying for the church to arise. He said, you are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its salt, it is of no use again but to be put on the ground and trampled. And that's what people are doing to the church because we have lost our saltiness. God is saying, get our salt back. May the church get the salt back in Jesus' name. We're going to get our salt back to be salty again. One of our board members, he's a doctor and a pastor, and he was going to rent a house. And we gave him the house. When he went to make payment, he said, which hospital are you working? He said, I'm taking sabbatical. I'm now a pastor. He said, no. The man didn't give him the house again because he's a pastor. Because we've lost our salt. But God is reviving the church. Getting the salt back to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everywhere we go. One day I was in Orlando and we just went to Starbucks to buy coffee. We were in meetings at the Florida Mall. And I just turned to a lady and said, hello, how are you? Fine. Long story short, she was about to commit suicide that week. She said, every Mother's Day is horrible. It was Mother's Day week. It was Wednesday. She said, gave birth to a daughter, and the daughter had died. Long story short, she gave her life to Christ, and she was transformed. Glory to God. She said, we spent like 3 hours, 4 hours. I left my friends. She said she sent me an email. She got back to the office. Everybody said, what happened to you? Because the depression was, she's gone through every therapist, every psychologist, like nothing could help. But the heaviness had dropped. They said, when she went home too, the husband said, what happened to you? When she went home, the children said, what happened to you? Jesus. Jesus, the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world. True worship, true prayer, true discipleship, true ministry, different ministries, true teaching, true missions and evangelism, taking the gospel, like what they came to do in Ghana was amazing. And like Pastor Matt is saying, over 7,000 rich people groups still have not heard. We got to do something. When you support us, you're helping. When you support our missionaries, that's changing the world and sending teams. You know, the last scripture is Isaiah chapter 6. It says, arise and shine. Arise and shine, for the light has come. The glory of God is risen upon you. We shall be light. We are light. And we shall continue to be light. We shall continue to be salt. We will take the gospel everywhere. In our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Nothing is shaking us. We are the bride. The bride is beautiful. And Jesus is the bridegroom. And he will come back for us. Let us arise and shine. Let's see.